We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
Russian sources tell him that Page has also had a secret meeting with Igor Sechin, CEO of the Russian gas giant Rosneft.
That is Adam Schiff. He is ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. At Monday's hearing, describing public reports that link members of the Trump campaign with a Russian oil and gas company. So, how does one prominent climate scientist connect the Russiagate investigation to climate? Paul Huttner joins us now with more on our weekly climate cast. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Tom.
So, it seems odd that a climate scientist picked up on this political hearing into the Russia hearings in the House. What is the possible climate link?
Yeah, this seemed a little unusual to me too, Tom. But prominent Penn State climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann sent out a tweet Monday that kind of caught my eye. It says, Comey being asked about the Tillerson ExxonMobil Putin Russian oil connection, which is at the very core of Russiagate and Trump treason. So I asked him, what connection does he see between the now Trump administration, ExxonMobil, and a Russian oil company? His answer revolves around a familiar phrase, follow the money. Dr. Michael Mann is Distinguished Professor of Meteorology and the Director of the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University. Dr. Mann, the big news story this week revolved around President Trump and the FBI investigation into possible campaign links with Russia. But you tweeted something this week during Monday's hearing that caught my eye and may ultimately have a climate connection. It's this: Comey being asked about the Tillerson ExxonMobil Putin Russian oil connection, which is at the very core of Russiagate and Trump treason. Now, that's a lot to unpack in those 140 characters. There's been some reporting on this. But what did you mean when you tweeted about Tillerson, ExxonMobil, Putin, and the Russian oil connection?
Yeah, so this is a story that really has not gotten nearly enough attention. But, you know, it certainly sent a warning signal when Rex Tillerson, the CEO of the world's largest fossil fuel corporation, ExxonMobil, was appointed as Secretary of State, appointed as the person in charge of our foreign policy. And as you dig beneath the surface, there start to emerge some real conflicts of interest here. Tillerson has a third of $1 billion in ExxonMobil stock and a severance package. So he's got a huge amount of money invested in ExxonMobil and what happens to them.
So if I read you right, Michael, there's a lot to unpack there, but you're essentially saying follow the money to Russian oil, and that's driving what you think could be the reason that all these connections with Russia and the Trump campaign appear to be pointing in the same direction.
That's right. I mean, all these connections have to do with their policy in the Ukraine, which was at the core of the U.S. sanctions, and revoking those sanctions. And that's the only thing that stands in the way of Rex Tillerson's ExxonMobil having access to billions of dollars worth of oil, and Russia obviously profiting greatly from that as well. It's a partnership between Russia and ExxonMobil, and they both stand to profit, again, by billions of dollars. And it's the elephant in the room here.
And obviously the context of our conversation here today is that you're a climate scientist. So what do you see the connection here to climate science and the atmosphere in that overall policy?
Yeah, so ultimately, if our foreign policy, our entire foreign policy, is now going to be geared at increasing access and extraction of fossil fuels while undoing all of the progress that was made over the last 8 years in doing something about climate change, and we learned in a New York Times article by Coral Davenport that indeed the Trump administration has indicated that they do plan to effectively withdraw from our participation in the critical Paris Accord. They intend to revoke the Clean Power Plan, which was a policy by the Obama EPA to decrease carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants and incentivize mm-hmm. renewable energy. They're taking a host of actions that are not only aimed at promoting the development of fossil fuels and the move away from renewable energy towards fossil fuels, but undermining efforts to assess the risk that our continued burning of fossil fuels poses to the planet in the form of climate change. And they're at the same time literally trying to defund the science of climate change. They are taking an axe to the budget of NOAA and NASA and the EPA to literally prevent scientists from studying and reporting on this problem.
Yeah, and I've talked to some other climate scientists about that who feel the same way you do, Michael, kind of a chilling picture. But let me play the devil's advocate here for a minute when it comes to both the atmosphere and budgets and climate science research. How much damage can one administration really do in 4 years to some of those projects?
Yeah, so it, in terms of the defunding of science, quite a bit of damage because, you know, our ability to monitor changes in climate requires continuous records. And if you talk to any scientist, they'll tell you that to do a proper scientific analysis, you need continuous records. You can't have large temporal gaps, or that essentially renders the record almost useless. You know, if you do that, then it's sort of like knowing that your child has a high fever and deciding you're going to stop measuring their temperature. That's, in effect, what the Trump administration is doing about climate change.
Let's shift gears a little bit here. Another interesting piece I saw recently that I believe is of interest to our ClimateCast audience, this was from Climate Central, and I quote, "Scientists are poised to start a new movement." Of course, we know the March for Science is happening April 22nd in D.C., and across America. Michael, we talk about climate change here every week. One thing we've known and have learned is that data doesn't always drive understanding and action on climate change. How do we as scientists do a better job of communicating what we know and why it matters to the public?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, and you're doing a great job, you know, in your reporting on the weather and providing the context that's necessary for your listeners to understand how, you know, climate change and weather aren't inseparable. They're tied together, and the extreme, you know, many of the extreme weather events that we're seeing, climate change is likely playing a role. So I think that there's a real opportunity to engage the public by talking about the science because, you know, we, as a nation, we love science. That's why Bill Nye is such a popular character. People grew up with him. I grew up with Carl Sagan. I believe that as a people, we are naturally fascinated and supportive of science. And sometimes when the implications of science are inconvenient to vested interests, and that's what's happened with climate change and the fossil fuel industry, we find science subject to attack. And at those times, it's particularly important for us to remind you know, policymakers in the public of why it's so important, why science is so important, why it's so important to allow scientists to pursue truth regardless of the implications of their findings. And we have relied as a nation technologically on the ability of scientists to pursue truth, and that has led to amazing discoveries and devices, the modern devices that we now have available to us. All of that amounted because from allowing scientists to pursue truth wherever it led them.
Michael Mann is the Distinguished Professor of Meteorology and the Director of the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University.
A very interesting twist today on ClimateCast. Paul Huttner, thank you for it.
Thanks, Tom.
A follow-up now to this ClimateCast conversation. At the time of his confirmation hearing, Rex Tillerson had more than $300 million in total stock holdings, of which ExxonMobil stocks made up more than $200 million. Tillerson has filed plans with the Office of Government Ethics to cash out his Exxon shares and sell off other stock holdings within the first 90 days of his tenure as Secretary of State. The director of that office called it a clean break from Exxon. Federal law also requires Tillerson to recuse himself from decisions that would affect ExxonMobil for at least 1 year.